This week, Mikey and Rod want to buy an American airplane.
You'll be green one day.
A move that could bankrupt the company. Plus, Buffalo tries to sell a water bomber to Asian buyers.
That's bullshit. These guys like to bullshit me.
But a landing gear failure stretches the crew to their limits. Foreign visitors have descended on the Buffalo Airways hangar.
Oh, hi, Justin.
Yeah, my name's John.
Hi, Justin.
Only one sickly.
This group from a South Korean aviation firm is looking to get into the water bombing business. Buffalo has just the plane for the job, the CL-215.
They're really impressed about the size of the aircraft.
Company pilot Jung-Soo Kim is still a rookie, and he's excited about the chance to fly this plane in Korea.
Our current plan is introducing CL-215 from Buffalo to Korea.
Hey, Nigel. The Koreans are in town. And they...
Today, Captain Justin Simley and mechanic Corey Dodd are taking Jung-Soo and his colleagues up for a test flight.
We've got a clear path. I just need a mule.
The 215 is built for summer work. It has no de-icing equipment or heat. Even the lubricants it uses can freeze up in temperatures like this.
We don't normally do this stuff now when it's cold out like this. I mean, this morning when we woke up, it was minus 33.
It's the worst time to be flying. But without a test flight, there's no deal.
We don't get to run them in the wintertime very often. We're stuck in the hangar all the time, so it'll be nice.
You want to come fly this thing with me?
Yeah.
And Justin's hoping the plane makes a big impression on his young co-pilot.
Big engine, big aircraft.
Done. The heading book goes on 28.
28,
yeah.
Turning inbound.
Okay, so here's the thing.
You're done with this?
No.
All right.
Is that?
They don't get
your throttle.
My throttle.
Trust. Airspeed's alive.
Do you want the threshold to
rotate?
Jung-Soo is happy so far, but flying a summer plane in minus 30 is just asking for mechanical trouble.
Then you're trying to do a right turn, Jung?
Okay, sir.
And hold 5,000.
And mechanical trouble could kill this deal.
There's always something. You never, ever, ever get a perfect test light. Well, I mean, we don't. Our track record has been, you know, there's always something you got to fix.
They're barely off the ground before Corey spots a problem. The manifold pressure gauge shows the left engine isn't putting out full power. Jung Soo's pulled off his very first 215 landing without a hitch. But Corey's challenge is just beginning.
It's cooling off over there, I think.
He has to figure out why the left engine isn't putting out enough horsepower.
Yeah, that usually means you got to pull the engine off. Which is, at this point in the game, we don't want to be doing that. Because we're running out of time now, so.
So Corey's checking the instruments first.
We got lots of line anyways.
Well, right now we're just confirming the manifold pressure gauge, making sure we got no leaks in that system. So we don't go chasing our tails for no reason.
As soon as you hit 40 inches, there's a big split.
Yeah.
Corey's hoping the issue could just be with the gauge, not the engine itself.
Okay, Matt, just take it up. So right there, go take your right hand end into 50.
They shoot compressed air to trigger the gauge. If it's working properly, the left and right needles should match.
So right there, stop there.
That's exactly what I was reading, eh?
There's our power, yeah. We got almost a six inch split. Our gauge is f***ed up. Our gauge is screwed up. We're simulating the engine's taking off, so right now, see the split's getting bigger?
Yeah.
So our right-hand engine is going to put out normal power.
Right.
Our left-hand engine looks like it's low,
but it's actually not low.
The gauge is incorrectly reading. But now we know that it's not the engine.
It's a simple fix and a relief for Corey, but a short-lived one. Because to the crew's surprise, the Koreans have come up with a long list of other problems.
Their S-gain
cylinder head temperature?
Yeah, first one is
number one.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
The fluctuation.
I saw that as well. It went down. I'm not sure what that is.
Do you have the engineer, the other guys that fly with us?
Corey, yeah, I could get it for you.
First, he's asking. So during the flight, the pressure indicator gauge moving like this. So they're asking why.
Oh, I didn't actually see it move like that. You're talking about like rack movement?
Yeah, rack movement. Yeah, they think they need to change the oil pressure gauge in number two.
Yeah, we can do that.
Yeah, and they're asking why the throttle levers.
Yeah, they're not properly rigged. We'll test it. Once we get all these sorted out, we'll do another run. Oh, this is just a list that the Koreans had made up after the test flight. So they want these things fixed before they accept the airplane, like for the purchase. So that's what these guys are doing right now.
But you say this thing's gonna shake, eh?
Well, it is definitely shaking.
It is, eh?
Like it's constant.
Corey knows that a 215 will never run perfectly in this weather.
It is too cold out right now to be flying these things around. It's minus 30 this morning, so.
They're a summer machine.
They're a summer machine, yeah. This cowling design wasn't really made for 30 below.
But the customer is always right, and the Koreans are leaving in just 2 days. Corey's soon going to face a much bigger problem with this plane, 4,000 feet in the air. Another 30 below morning in Yellowknife. And Mikey needs to talk to his father as soon as the morning passenger flight rolls in.
Me and Rod are going to Sacramento this afternoon to an aircraft auction, and I'm kind of concerned because my father, we haven't discussed anything. So, you know, me and Rod are kind of going down to California half-assed blind.
So you guys getting ready to leave at home on Monday?
Yeah. We haven't discussed anything about it yet.
Mikey needs Joe's advice about what bids to make on the planes up for auction.
So is there any expectations or anything? Is that Sophie just puking right now?
Whenever Mikey mentions it, something always just seems to come up. Mikey's got his eye on one specific model that's up for sale. The Lockheed P-3 Orion. It's a military-spec firefighting powerhouse.
It's the Electra on steroids. It's lighter, it's shorter, and it's got more power. Does anyone have any money? Do we have any money?
Mikey wants Joe's green light, but Buffalo's getting cash-strapped during the winter season.
The company gets kind of financially strained this time of year, and it's not really a time of year to, you know, to start gambling money that you don't have. Like, me and Rod are leaving here in a couple hours. No one's talked about it. I talked to Aerojean yesterday. They're more than happy to see us. I don't know what your thoughts, like, what's the tank worth to you? There's a whole bunch of questions.
Joe's still not weighing in.
They put her outside for a few minutes. She'll come in near their door.
Finally, Mikey gets an answer, but not the one he was hoping for.
But what I'm interested in our union is parts. Parts, pieces. We survive on parts. We don't survive on airplanes.
Especially
APUs laying around, GPUs, air starts, all that shit. Right now, got airplanes. We need parts.
He's really adamant that it was about the parts, not about the planes. Planes are very easy to get distracted with, so he's thinking about parts, 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 because no use having planes if you don't have parts.
But once they get to California, the boys could find the urge to buy the planes more powerful than Joe's orders.
All right, see you later. Good luck. You got everything?
We're here. Mm-hmm. We don't fit the sea can, don't bring it back.
Back at the hangar, Corey's still straining under the weight of the Koreans' checklist and their looming deadline.
Hey, like these snags that they picked on are so minimal, but some of them, like, they're shittier to fix than most.
At least one item on the list could result in days of extra work.
I just can pull that screen right now.
A check of the engine oil screen.
So what we will do is they'll pull the screen apart, and then we clean it into through a rag and a coffee filter, which is quite fine. In the worst case scenario, he cleans the filter and it's full of metal. Steel is the worst. Basically, steel means the crankshaft's coming apart or rings or something bad. And if we do see that usually means you got to pull the engine off.
Here's the moment of truth.
Once he cleans it out, then I won't be worried. You never know. Could be worried in a bit.
You got a magnet?
That's just carbon. That's it. This is carbon. Yeah, carbon normal engine. Yeah.
There's no shiny metal, which means no serious damage in the engine. But there's still a long list before the buyers sign on the dotted line. And the next flight is going to test more than just the plane. The boys from Buffalo have landed in California.
Tried not to be different, I guess. Rod was wearing traditional footwear. He sported his mukluks all the way from Yellowknife all the way to California.
The next morning, Rod and Mikey head to the conference's trade show.
Oh, yeah, no, this is kind of cool. Like, this is a whole new level of imaging.
The McBrians take some time to check out the latest advancements in aerial firefighting.
Look at all the white people.
Including infrared cameras.
Oh,
and fire retardant gel.
That's wild. I gotta try that out.
Yeah, there you go. There you go. Hold it a little bit.
That's pretty cool, man. And you say it's non-toxic, eh?
Yes. Yep.
I said you should do a shooter.
How's it taste?
Tastes like porridge. It's not that bad. I could go for a second. Yeah, calories. You gotta enter that into your calories.
But the real draw of this conference is at the local airfield, where all the aircraft up for auction are on display.
The real draw to go down to California was to take a look at the parts and pieces that are around these P3s that are for sale, because that's what we need to keep our electrics going. That's a P3. Look how nice she is. Look how clean. She's a cool airplane. But mostly, we're interested in the tank. In Sacramento, our mindset was the firefighting tanks that bolt onto the bottom of the airplane. Those were our priorities, because that's what's up we can use right now that can bolt onto our electrics and put them to work. What they have here is they got a constant flow tank. That's a high-end tank. So this airplane, it's a shame that it's not being used. It's a beautiful, it's probably the world's perfect firefighter.
As far as being able to run in and out of canyons and stuff, this is the airplane to do it, just because it's so powerful.
But the company that owns the P3s lost their major firefighting contract, so they have to unload the fleet.
It's unfortunate that they're not flying right now. I don't know how to explain that.
My father was quite right. He said stay away from the airplanes because they'll distract you from the parts. And you know, he is right. The first thing I noticed is that it's really simple. Like, our lectures, when you sit in there, it's just like, what the hell's going on? Once I was in the airplanes, it was like the sirens calling. They were, like, really drawing me towards it. So we went through it, and I kind of lost focus, and I kind of got wanderlusted in these airplanes, thinking, why can't we fly these home? They're good to go.
Nice plane.
After one quick look, Rod and Mikey are already head over heels.
3 years ago, these things, what, $4-5 million airplanes? Now they're to the lowest bidder, really.
Yeah, but we got to take a look at this Bronco. This is another airplane we're not allowed to have.
Tomorrow, they get a private demo of the P3 fleet. Resisting the temptation to bid could be impossible. In Sacramento, Mikey's meeting up with Buffalo's American Electric consultant, Don Deo.
But yeah, this is a lot of old stuff here.
Tomorrow, he'll help guide Mikey and Rod through the auction.
Look at the Pony Express, eh?
Yep. This must have been the end of the trail then.
Yeah, the first food mail?
Yeah, first sketch.
But today, he's guiding Mikey through Old Sacramento, the city's Old West District.
This is the horse, eh? What do you think? We're for riding a horse?
Sure, why not?
Hey, Pepper. How's it going there, bud? This is before DC-3s. This is what they had to do, eh?
This is before a lot of things.
And the one thing about the territories is it's the oldest rock in the world, but there's no history, really. Yeah, it's pretty bad when, 1975 is, like, the oldest building. But here it's like, oh, yeah, that's why Ryder, puked over there. And, that's where Burt Reynolds was conceived.
There's your Buffalo right there.
Buffalo Bob's. Oh, just like home.
Yeah. That one's all carved out.
Nailed.
Yeah.
Did you bring any green paint?
No, I didn't.
Oh. Hey, the Village Hat Shop. Oh, that's kind of cool.
All perfect.
Is it
the Mad Hatter. Yeah, vintage? It works for you.
An old Sacramento, eh? Fever brand. Well, I reckon I'm going to wreck something. Oh, there we go. Moves like Jagger. I'm running for Congress. Talking to me, punk, pa-bam, pa-bam.
Stetson's made out of buffalo.
Oh, buffalo, eh? I've never seen one before. Rootin' tootin'. Top of the morning, lady. Actually, I like this hat.
Enjoy your new buffalo Stetson.
Oh, thank you. Ready to go. There. First time I used a green shotgun, I kind of like it.
Buffalo green?
It's a nice color. Jeez, I'm starting to like this town. I'm gonna just set up shop here.
We're just gonna throw the cowlings on now.
It's do or die time for Corey Dodd in the CL215.
and take it outside and run it. Hopefully everything that we attempted to fix is fixed.
One last chance to convince the skeptical Koreans that the plane is airworthy.
Yeah, hopefully everything runs good.
They head out to the runway where they can fire up at full power.
Yeah, I'll just go full power right now.
But right away, there's a new problem. The left engine is spinning much too slow. The governor governs the angle of the propeller blades to maximize engine efficiency. Pressure changes in engine oil change the blade pitch, keeping the engine running at a constant speed, even when power requirements change during a takeoff or climb.
This seems to be need a little bit more adjustment to do engine RPMs. Like,
are you happy?
I don't know. That's what I wanted to find out. If they're going to, you know, if we just have to deal with that governor, we can always just
need to change any.
Hmm? It came up a bit, but not much.
The Koreans are leaving tomorrow, so Corey has to change that governor tonight.
No, it has to be changed.
So the thing goes up to 600 now again.
Yeah.
Right now we can't go flying across the ocean or anything like this.
So it'll be a late night for Corey at the hangar. While just outside town, Jung-Soo and his colleagues are staying up late themselves at Aurora Village. Home to the best views of the famed Northern Lights.
The first time I saw the aurora in my life, and it was fantastic. I like it.
But Jung-Soo won't be so happy if Corey can't get the water bomber running perfectly by tomorrow. The next morning in Sacramento, Mikey, Rod, and Don are supposed to be on the hunt for electric parts.
They're a little cool, aren't they? Good. How far are you?
This is everything. So behind that gate there is all our critical inventory for the P3s.
Okay.
This is all the jacks and all the different sands for all the, lifting all the airplanes and stuff. This is kind of the stuff that we can use in the element. Stuff like Joe Lights.
But Rod and Mikey are more interested in the fleet of pristine water bombers just outside the door.
You ready to go look at an airplane?
Sure thing.
Which one's your favorite?
17.
17? The Plane Whisperer. You know, Don's out there, having some alone time with the airplane.
Well, that's a lightning bonding strip there, and from the way it's kind of frayed and everything here, it almost looks like it probably took a lightning strike.
And again, looking for corrosion, any possible cracking or leaking of steering fluids.
So far, all of them I've looked at look to be in really good shape, so I mean, they're well cared for, so not looking too bad.
Awesome. I'm gonna sit here in the center.
Yep.
Probably real similar here. Well, like that. I've never heard one of those far up from sitting in the cockpit.
Okay, duly selected. Mikey.
Rod and Mikey expected planes headed for the junkyard, ready to be scavenged for bits and pieces.
What we did find is there's a full office, all the records, the airplanes have been moved and kept in a serviceable state. There's a full operation here, right, ready to fly.
That one fired right up.
Yeah, not bad at all.
Seeing these perfect firefighting machines stuck on a ramp doesn't sit well with any McBrien.
It is a crime. Especially when they said all seven of them can leave by Tuesday if they got a call today.
All we gotta do is figure out how to sneak one back into Canada. Paint a big beaver on the side of it there, national animal.
Despite Joe's clear orders, Mikey and Rod are plotting how to get these P-3s flying in Arctic skies.
You'll be green one day.
Corey Dodd is finishing final adjustments of the new governor on the Korean-bound CL-215.
We almost have all of our problems fixed, so hopefully we can get the Koreans to sign off on it pretty quick. And they can go back to Korea, and we can go back to doing what we do.
But so far, the buyers have been sticklers over every detail.
Their manifold pressure was 28.5 for number one and 29 for number two. So do you want my numbers from last flight? On this number? Or today's number? Yeah, okay, I have that all here.
Corey's about to learn from pilot Jung Soo if it lives up to the Korean buyer standards.
We're going to offset the aircraft for the condition and for the adjustment of for the little minor things.
So everything's good right now?
Yeah.
Justin,
yeah, I'll sign it.
Okay?
Just bought yourself an airplane. Congratulations.
Okay. You're happy. Are you smiling?
Yeah.
Okay.
The new registration plate makes it official. Now, the real hard part begins. Somehow, Buffalo has to deliver the plane all the way to Korea. The 215 is designed for short hauls in warm weather, but this one has to span 8,000 frigid kilometers, stopping in the Aleutian Islands, crossing the stormy Bering Sea, and fueling in Siberia before finally reaching South Korea. Only then will Buffalo get paid.
That's got a whole set of problems, mostly with the weather. The airplanes are not set up for winter flying.
Well, if we do go through the Bering Sea, I looked at the weather there for 31 days, and there was one day I might have tried it, maybe. But I probably would have chickened out, I think. You know, it's just not very good weather. It's starting to be typhoon season over there and all kinds of good stuff. So it's not going to be easy any way we do it.
Before Justin and Corey can start their epic journey, there's still one formality, a final test flight.
Have some pressures.
Looking good.
Oil cooler?
I'll set them a quarter.
The temperatures dropped below minus 20, hostile conditions for the warm weather 215. But just a taste of what's waiting over the Bering Sea.
Take it to 81 Tower. On departure, turn right at your discretion.
Let's take off 16. Check that one.
Power set. T1, T3, Delta. Bravo, Delta. T2, rotate.
Up to 4,000 feet, did our normal cruise the airplane out, let all the engines stabilize. Heaters working good, all the throttles, props, mixtures, everything was lined up. Like, everything was perfect.
But as the crew heads back in, their luck is about to change.
Okay, down for land, here comes the wheels.
Roger.
I selected the gear down. Safe indication on the right main gear. You've got three gear indicators, and each one has a picture of a little landing gear in it. Indicator window did not indicate it here.
which tells us basically the gear's not safe.
So what do you want to do? You want to land?
In the back of the 215, there's these big blister windows made for search and rescue. You can see everything what's going on. And sure enough, the right-hand main is not locked down.
Take it 281 tower, clear to land, runway 10. We gotta make a decision here.
Well, nobody ever wants to land with any one of the three wheels up.
Frequency 135, that's why you're losing. One boss. 10 to 50, 0 plus 1.
Do I do it or not? The locks are down. Like, that one's down all the way. This one's like... But sometimes they're like that. But I don't know, it's because it's cold or what?
Well, you like to have your landing gear down and locked. If the landing gear isn't down and locked, it is possible the landing gear could collapse on landing.
Oh, what do you want to do?
Yeah, I was a little nervous there. I mean, you don't want to crash. That's not, you know, I've gone this far without a crash. I don't need to crash now.
Yeah, so just cruise it out for a second so we don't burn fuel.
Yeah, gotcha. And tower 281. 281 tower. We got to extend here, guys, for a second. Get a gear pump.
My first thought was, you know, I gotta try something here. So I just smashed the window out with the fire axe. And tried using the broomstick to push the landing gear into its locked position.
But the pole is no match for the heavy gear and freezing cold.
I didn't pan out very good. Obviously, those aluminum boomsticks aren't meant for pushing CL2D landing gear out.
Oh, baby.
Now, at 4,000 feet, Corey and the crew are all out of options. 4,000 feet above Yellowknife, Buffalo's 215 crew is flying with the landing gear that refuses to lock down.
I need something to push on that thing.
Corey's getting desperate.
The only thing we had on board was our pins that we normally, when we land, we get out of the airport, we stick the pins in from the outside to lock the landing gear down. I thought, well, I could try and put a pin in the other way, which I've never even attempted that before. I didn't even know you could do it.
They're putting a pin in? Is it in or?
His fingers numb in the freezing air, Corey and a 6-inch piece of metal are now the crew's only hope.
I got my hand stuck out there, and it's actually, I mean, it's still minus 25 out in the wind, and the wind chill at 120 knots is pretty cold.
As he tries, Corey can't get the pin all the way in.
I got in about halfway, and then I basically had to stop because we're running out of time.
And 280 plus one, I said go here. You want to do the landing?
Yeah, I'll do it.
You got it?
I got it. And the horn, everything's still going off, giving us an indication that the gear is not safe.
Yeah. I'll put the left one down first and then set the right one down nice and slow there.
The pin is designed as a safety backup when the 215 is on the ground, but now it's the only thing locking the right gear in place.
That's all we can do. I mean, in the back of my mind, it's like, you know, what's going to happen here? Peering out that steep window and waiting for that gear to start collapsing. At that point, the gear is not going to collapse.
Oh, that was fun. Yeah.
The saving grace was that the plane was almost empty.
Well, maybe with full fuel and full crew and full spares and all the shit on board that we normally carry, maybe the gear wouldn't have held. You know, I mean, that's... we'll never know, I guess.
The crew made it down safely today. But before this plane flies another mile, Corey has to figure out exactly what went wrong.
Just pull it apart and make sure why it's not locking down, because you can't land it without the gear locked down properly, because you don't want it to collapse on the runway, right? Bad situation.
Can't win here.
So, I mean, normally we don't fly these things at, you know, minus 25. We use like a summertime grease. It's a lot thicker. But now you get the cold temperatures. With the cold temperatures and the thick grease, moving parts didn't move as good.
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, it wasn't allowing the gear to fully down.
Yeah, perfect, yeah.
So after we changed the grease and adjusted, everything's good now.
But this problem's been a painful reminder that this plane just isn't built for the cold. And that's got Justin making a new plan for the big delivery.
Here we got a broker working on getting us a ship, a container ship.
Really?
Yeah. We just got to find a floating crane, one of these ports. I'll land the airplane in the harbor. We'll get two tugs to hook up and tag it into position under the crane. We'll hook the sling
up. Oh, man, that's epic.
That's going to be cool.
Now, is there going to be a mechanic?
It'll be a huge challenge, and it's never been done with a plane like this. But it's the only way. Mikey soon has a new problem to worry about. Following Joe's orders, he and Rod only bought parts, not planes, down in California.
Jeez, where's Rod? Huh, he's not even in there. When we went down to Sacramento to look at those P3s, you know, we came back and we had the opportunity to bid on them. He's still here. Maybe he's in Forbes' office. My father wasn't really too, excited about it.
5,000 hours or something like
but
that.
But now, Mikey's hearing differently from their American consultant, Don Deo.
That might have been it. It might have gone then.
Which one? 25?
25, and I think he bid 410,000 something on 22.
The closing date of the bid came and passed. We thought, oh, we missed it. Who bid on the airplanes?
But we did.
Joe
got on the phone with me the other night, and Joe said, tell them, bid one low bar and one a little bit higher.
My father's taking a huge risk, you know, putting a bid down for these P3s even before we even got paid for CL-15s in Korea. Holy shit, so as of right now, we don't know, but we could be a possibly owner of a P3 right now?
That is very close to being correct, yes.
Mikey and Rod followed Joe's orders and resisted the urge to bid.
Yeah, right.
But Joe defied his own orders.
My father can be very impulsive sometimes. He actually goes like out of his way, you know, to create chaos and do things his own way. And, you know, this day wasn't an exception.
In the end, the lure of this ideal tanker was just too much for Joe.
You could fight fire anywhere in the world with a P3 because you could fuel for it. And I felt it was a good tanker and had a place in Canada. I felt I should bid on him.
But he didn't tell anyone.
I phoned Deo because no one was telling me anything. So I called Deo and said, Deo, what's going on with Sacramento? And he said, there's two bids, and it looks like we may even got both of them, if those were our bids.
We're right with you. You got to get this flight away.
Mikey's always put up with Joe's impulsiveness. Not this time.
When I gave you the stuff on Friday, all that stuff, that's not the first time I gave it to you. What about... All the time, he and Rod wanted to discuss it.
I don't want to argue right now with, but you don't bring it up, you go do something about it.
My father started criticizing me that I didn't spend enough time with the airplanes and know what was going on.
Despite his strict instructions, Joe wanted Mikey to take the reins and bid on the planes.
Why I thought he'd come home and put it together and see it to completion.
It could f*** the company. My father priced some bids on these P3s. Honestly, we didn't have that cash.
Joe's impulsive move may have plunged him into a deal he can't cover, leaving the company at risk and Mikey fed up. Phase one of the Korean 215 delivery is set to take off.
Are you excited?
Well, yeah, we'll just run it and oil it, fuel it, and we'll see if the boss says go or not here.
This first leg is a flight to Vancouver, where a crew will load the plane onto a ship.
I'm gonna check the oil.
It will be an unprecedented journey for an aircraft like this. If it can actually happen.
We haven't been paid for the Korean 215 yet, but I think, Mr. Forbes and my father are just waiting for money. So I think that's what's holding up right now is, checking in the bank. Who knows? More about where it is.
That's worst case scenario. Now, this thing could be tied up in the international banking system and be come through today sometime.
Well, can we find out if anybody? It hasn't left the old country, or Korea, then we're not going anywhere. If it's in international banking, then we're out of here.
At this point, it's more of a gamble on Joe's part because the Koreans don't want to pay unless they see the airplane on their ramp. Joe wants his money. He doesn't want the airplane to leave before he gets his cash. So someone has to give in.
If some bank will tell us that it's in their system, the airplane's gone.
Joe McBrien, call 200. Joe McBrien, 200.
Yeah,
I did not know Jerry Union was it.
The fuel was in the airplane. We were ready to go. Joe came out there.
Back in. Hey, Corey.
Yeah?
We're going to run this thing and put it back in the hangar for a couple hours until I get some...
That's what we're doing right now.
Yeah. So don't leave.
It's super, super frustrating.
He hasn't got his cash, he doesn't want us to go.
3 hours go by, but there's still no money in the bank.
When you deal in a foreign country and you deal with an asset of that value, you have to have your paperwork done. We were going faster than the paper was flowing.
You got no money, you got no money. You got nothing.
What?
He's got nothing.
So you just shut it down? And just like that. I mean, it's his airplane. He can do whatever he wants with it. We're just a little soldiers. We go where we're told.
Joe's gambling that if he holds back delivery, the Koreans will send payment.
Dave, when's our drop-dead date for that boat?
Monday.
We don't get a transfer tomorrow. Tomorrow will be Friday.
It's like playing poker. I wasn't satisfied in my mind yet that we had a business deal that was acceptable to me, so we just stopped it.
But if his auction bid in Sacramento pans out, Joe will need the Korean money to cover his bets.
He's dropping hundreds of thousands of dollars on a bid, spending the money that we don't have, putting, the company in a little bit of a dicey situation.
Now, the future of Buffalo hinges on a hope that the buyers will blink first.